All right, good morning to all. Jota Kammer and John Ritchie. Excited to talk in about a half an hour to the welterweight champion of the world, Philadelphia's own, Boots Ennis, who's got a fight coming up in about 2 weeks. He'll be with us in studio in a half an hour. Right now with us, the king. We go from Elvis to another king, Howard Eskin. Good morning, King.
Hey, good morning. How is everybody?
It's been quite a week, Howard.
Really? The Eagles won a game. Obviously, they were not good, even though they won.
What do you make of what's going on with the Birds, Howard? There's a lot happening. Break it down for us.
All right. Obviously, everybody wants to start with the coach. Every player publicly and players I've talked to privately love this guy with the way he coaches the team. Jason Kelce implied he might have been the best coach that he's played under, and he played under Andy Reid.
He was the best meeting coach.
Okay, but he got them to play. He got them to. John, you don't
he
like.
He said the best Nick, team meeting coach.
John, you don't like Nick Sirianni, so we already know that. But the reality is, he gets them to play. They don't play well, but that may be the players. But let's address some of the situations. All right, people say he's calling plays. When there was an implication that he called a defensive play, what he did, and Vic Fangio shut that down. What he did, he said, and I made the mistake of trying to check what happened here. He told Vic Fangio, "Hey, listen, in this situation, I think this team does this," meaning Cleveland. "I think this team does this." He didn't call the play. He just pointed out what he thinks they do. All right, on offense.
So why did he say that was calling a play?
I don't know. I don't have any idea. But
it's a good question, John. You're right about that. It's misidentifying a circumstance.
Well, yeah, and that's what he did. He misidentified.
But he confused it, I think, is John's point. Like,
well, yeah, and then Vic Fangio shut it down. All right, the offense.
Well, that's kind of a bad sign.
Well, that play with 14 seconds. Let me go through these. The play with 14 seconds. The guys were lined up incorrectly. All right, so, and that play had worked before. But that's not my main point. When they threw that ball to AJ, whenever there's a timeout, the coaches speak. And I know Nick had involvement. Nick Sirianni had involvement with, "Hey, what do you think would work here?" And there were two plays that were set up for that long pass that closed down the game to AJ. And Jalen Hurts checked at the line of scrimmage to the play that was one of the plays it called. Now, Nick discusses that. He doesn't call the play. Everybody's brought up, and let me address something else here. Joe, you said the 57-yard field goal was a mistake. I think you said that.
Yeah, I believe that in the moment before it was attempted. I thought it was reckless because Cleveland's offense stinks.
Okay, 4th and 9 near the end of the half, and being at practice, and that's another one of my faults, which, you know, once in a while, Joe, stop out there. I watched Jake Elliott kick field goals from 62 yards. So I said, you know, that's within his range. And it's near the end of the half. And Myles Garrett made a great play. And by the way, and I checked this too, they coached that knowing that he does that once in a while, plays in the center. But it doesn't matter. The guy's so good, he made a really good play. So those are the kind of things. And we bring up under center. And everybody, I think that's Jalen. Jalen's just... And I remember Chip Kelly forced his offense on this team, and it didn't fit. These coaches don't force what, and I don't think it's all good. Don't force their offense on the team. Get them to work it. It's obvious to me, and you know I get little drips and drabs that Jalen doesn't like being under center, and that's. Could be a little bit, he's going to have to learn how to do that. And he likes to throw to the edges and not within the hashes. And that could be another thing. So when people blame the coach, you know, and then the kids thing, he used him as a shield. Let me tell you something. And when I look back on it, and I started to look back on it now, and I feel proud. The guy that works at that station, my son, had such, and all my kids, because of the job I had, and I tried to share what I do with them. My son met the greatest basketball player ever in Michael Jordan, the greatest hockey player ever in Wayne Gretzky while I was doing my job. Got to be friendly with Pete Rose, one of the greatest baseball players. I can go down the list.
But there's a time and place, Howard.
Well, yeah, but he's brought his kids up there before.
No, I know. I never liked it though.
Yeah, well, you know what? He loves his family.
I
but
know.
It's an experience, and every one of my kids shared something because of my job.
Howard, let me ask you a question. Howard, would you advise for Nick Sirianni to do it again after this upcoming week's game?
Well, I don't know that his kids are going to be there for a road game. So
okay, the next home game, would you advise him to do it again?
I wouldn't advise him to do it. He's in the moment. And when I took my kids and shared
well,
them,
it's inappropriate.
He was in the moment.
Yeah, totally.
Inappropriate.
He won't
if he's
it
in the moment, then he needs to learn to not be in the moment in that situation.
What? All I care about is this team plays better because they're not good enough right now.
And I agree with that.
We all agree with that. They are not good enough right now.
Do you think the clock's ticking, Howard, on Jalen Hurts?
Joe, we have discussed this before.
Yep.
I think he's got another year. But he's got to be – hey, listen, he played better on Sunday. But he's not – that's not – he's got to be better. For them, and I don't know that he's going to get back to that Super Bowl year. But the clock, it's not after this year. I think he's going to – because they still have to – they would have to get a quarterback.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see in the draft whether they draft a quarterback. It will really be interesting. And, John, let me just share something else with you. You mentioned this week that how could the point spread be – it went down to 8.5, but it was 9.5. You know, they ought to watch game film or game tape or whatever you said. You know, that's not the way they do it, John. It's everything's fed into a computer. Understand how they make up these lines. I've been dealing with stuff. I mean, I was Vegas Vic back 30, 40 years ago. So I understand all these things. They feed all that information in the computer. They don't even waste their time with game tape. And they come up with the numbers. And a lot of times it's pretty good. But whatever the case, this team, I think we all agree, has to be better. They are not good enough. But it's too easy and lazy to blame the head coach. And if they don't make the playoffs, he won't be here.
There was a disconnect, though, Howard, on Sunday between the head coach and the fans. Like, this is important. We, as fans, felt like, holy cow, what the heck just happened? We beat that team. We were tied with the Cleveland Browns with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter after a bye, a team that we thought we could roll over. And after the game, Nick was almost celebratory. You know, with the kid, I don't care so much that, you know, forget about the kid thing. Just the fact that he felt like it was a moment for, I don't know, expressing himself in that way.
Well, and that's
it was not appropriate.
Felt, if you get to know the guy a little bit, and you know what? He really loves his family.
Okay,
really
but why did he think he did better than he really did situation?
He was wrong when he started, you know, and he's not like he walks up to the stands. He was wrong there. He acknowledged that he was wrong. He can't do those things. Just got to suck it up. But the guy is such an emotional guy. I like his emotion. The players like his emotion. I like his emotion. And he was wrong. And he won't do that again. The kids, you're having your kids share a moment. He's excited he won a game. And it was too close a game. And we all agree with that, too. But the players have to. Scott Fransky said it last Friday on the Midday Show. Players play, and the players are the ones that win. And we're talking baseball, but it's still the same thing. And, you know, it's still the same thing. The players have to be held accountable. And
true.
You know, that's why with the Phillies.
So does he.
You know, I don't think anybody was really excited about the news conference the other day with the Phillies.
Yeah, what'd you make of it, Howard? So the end of the season and then the press conference. Where's your mind at with all of it?
Okay, my mind is if they run it back, they got no chance at winning a World Series. None. None.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
I do. I've talked to, and Ruben, unfortunately, I didn't talk to you, but I've talked to multiple, because you're a good baseball guy. I've talked to multiple baseball people. Here's three things they need to do, according to other baseball people. Turner has to move to center field. Robin Yount was a good shortstop at one time, and Trey Turner has never been a good defensive shortstop. He's got to move to center field because you need defense up the middle at the shortstop position. Robin Yount did it. He made the Hall of Fame. They won a World Series. They got to get a starting outfielder. They have one starting outfielder. The other guys are fourth and fifth outfielders, and that's it. And they have to get a closer. That's it. And Rob Thompson kind of alluded the other day that maybe there could be a change in the lineup. I gave him my lineup in spring training. I knew he wasn't going to use it. And his line is, we won a lot of games with Schwarber leading off. The regular season. This is not a playoff lineup because home runs don't happen as much because the pitching is better.
So who's leading off? Is it Trey or is it Bryson?
Okay, I have Bryson Stott, and he was a good hitter 2 years ago, and I think he can work a pitcher, and he would have responsibility. Stott, Turner, Harper. I would have put Bohm at fourth because I like Bohm. I would put Bohm fourth, and he goes with pitches. Fifth would be Schwarber. Sixth would be the catcher, and I don't know what he's got left. And then Castellanos, and I don't care what you do after that. But you got to have speed at the top. Generate some runs with speed. You block it up. You can't go first to third if Schwarber walks and guys get on you. I mean, he's not going first to third. The percentage of runners scoring when you're only going base to base, when you need three hits in an inning for the Phillies with that lineup the way it's set, doesn't work. The percentage is minute. They've got to change that. And if they don't change that, and I think Rob Thompson's ready to kind of tinker with it a little bit, but they got to do. Turner can't play shortstop. I mean, it's that simple. And they need another outfielder and a closer.
Ken, you came shut out of a cannon today here, man.
Oh, yeah, telling you. And you know the biggest problem for the, I'm still firing.
You got a lot to be. You are still
firing. The biggest problem, their payroll is the highest in the National League next year.
Yeah.
And they're stuck. And the Mets.
Well, by the way, and that's where his comment about averages in baseball falls short.
Yeah.
Because he should be comparing the Phillies to, you know, the top 8 to 10 payrolls in baseball, not to the bottom 10.
Well, you know the Mets,
their batting average is supposed to be higher than the bad teams because they spend $250 million more than bad teams.
Here's what's not a good sign either. The Mets have close to $100 million come off their payroll because they lose Scherzer and Verlander.
Wow.
So they're going to be better. The Braves are going to get their players back. They'll run it back. We're running it back to the same thing. And, you know, forget about the regular season. It's the playoffs.
There you go. King, stay well, buddy. Thanks, man.
All right, see you guys.
All right, there he is, Howard Eskin.
Thanks, Howard.
Let's go back to the phones. Ken and Cinnaminson. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing well, Ken.
Hey, Joe, I would point out that Chuck from Mount Airy was the nail when he challenged you and beat the hammer, as I recall, not too long ago. So, and John, I've met you like 5 times, and every time I meet you, it's the first time for you. So if I was inclined to low self-esteem, like your life advice from the hammer, I might be feeling bad about myself.
Jeez.
It's okay.
I don't know what to tell you about that, Ken. My bad.
I chalk it up to the head collisions.
Maybe, yeah.
Listen, I'm glad Ruben's there because, look, you obviously – I don't have any problem with Dave Dombrowski not going out there and calling out individual players and things of that nature, but my issue with Dombrowski goes back really at this point to spring training and, you know, the whole keeping the powder dry. And then, you know, as James has alluded to multiple times, there wasn't a single top 100 prospect traded at the trade deadline. So this notion that the trades that were available out there for the Phillies to actually make the team better were just too expensive is a fallacy. And you can do all that stuff and you can be responsible about, you know, not kind of showing your cards without making it sound like, hey, what do you want from us? And
there was a little bit of that. I agree.
It didn't even seem like he was that upset that they lost in the first round, you know, we don't need him to put on a show. I mean, he is who he is from an emotional standpoint, but don't come out in a, you know, end of season press conference where you played a grand total of 4 playoff games and won a grand total of 1. And tell us all that we still think we're good enough to win the World Series.
Ken, that part I disagree with. I think that's okay. I think your point that it was a little way too much like, it just happens. That wasn't good. He should not. Now, look, I disagree, Ken, with what you just said there, your one part, and Howard, when he's like, if they run it back, I believe the Phillies could win the World Series. I mean, they clearly are going to enter, if they had the same team, they would enter the regular season with easily one of the top 3 starting pitching staffs in baseball. Easily. And no one's going to convince me that plus the hitters couldn't win a World Series. Now, it might not, but it could.
Well, let me give you a scouting report on Dave Dombrowski as far as his passion, okay? I've been in meetings with him. I worked for him. I know how passionate he wants to win. I've been there. I've seen it. I've had been in meetings and discussed, seen him discuss things. Believe me, he is not at all pleased about what happened. But he's the face of the franchise, and he needs to, you know, show, you know, some leadership here, and that's exactly what he's doing. I am sure that he was pissed about what happened and upset about it. That doesn't mean the whole world needs to know it.
And you know what, Ruben, I believe you, but does that preclude the face of the franchise by going out there and acknowledging, hey, you know, we need to do a better job?
I agree.
Next year?
Ruben, I think he fell short for the public, which does matter.
A little pain.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Right. A little pain and suffering.
And more accountability, the trade deadline.
Absolutely.
That's baseball.
Yeah, you got to be more accountable on that front.
You know, Ruben, my 10 grand a year for season tickets means a lot more to me than it does to John Middleton. At least act like, you know, you recognize that. You know, you need to do a better job to continue to get my 10 grand a year for season tickets.
Ken, give me an answer. A movie item you'd like to display in your home.
We entertain a lot, and I can't imagine anything better than sitting down with our guests at the dining room table and having them look in the china cabinet and see Hannibal Lecter's mask and wondering what it is they're about.
That's a good one.
Good answer.
Wow. Now, when I hear that, then I start thinking about Darth Vader's suit.
Oh, that's another good one. Look at you.
That's a better one.
Just the helmet. You don't need the full suit. Just the helmet by itself.
Not necessarily a better one. Ruben, it's a different one.
Ruben, I have a full but small Darth Vader suit.
Oh, I know.
Oh, that's right. You have seen that.
I have seen it.
Not what I was expecting there.
I didn't even realize that when I first said it, but you're right. You have seen that.
Been there, done it.
That feels kind of losery.
Amy from Villanova thinks it's very childish.
It's small.
It's like hanging up a poster when you're 46 years old.
It's like because it's small, it's less losery.
No, if you would have had the real one, that would have been really cool.
Yeah, it might be more losers.
Brandon Lee Gouten has the real thing. Like the real,
it's
like
a little
it looks
silly.
It looks, and he's 6'8", so when he wears it, it's super intimidating.
All right, let's get to three different Twitter poll questions of the day today. They're brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. The all new 2025 Equinox sets the bar on styling, and Armin Chevrolet has them in stock now. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. All right, John, let's do the Eagles question first. Do you think the Eagles would become a good team this year? How do you think people voted?
Oh, man. 3/4 believe yes.
62% believe no.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. The town is down on the Birds. Question two, Phillies related. Following the season, whose failures bothered you the most? Dombrowski, the players, or Rob Thompson?
Players.
Big time. 87% on the players, 9% Dombrowski, 4% Rob Thompson.
Which is massive.
You know what's incredible about that? People were really mad. I agree with that. But people were really mad at Dombrowski and Rob Thompson. That shows you how much they think the players let them down.
Yeah, there's a lot left over for the guys.
That's incredible.
Oh, man.
All right, third poll question. Now, let's all go on the record ourselves here for the real question of the day. Mm-hmm. James Seltzer, is Joe Conklin a member of the media?
Absolutely not, no.
Rhea?
No.
Ruben?
No.
I agree. Not a member of the media. Richie.
Yes. He creates a lot of media himself. He is on the outside looking in.
Fringes
in a lot
of the media is what you're saying?
But
he's fringe media?
He's a media member.
Would you say he's kind of like Sirianni with the Eagles offense?
Wow.
That's the meanest thing you ever said about Joe.
All right. Oh, no. All right. John, how do you think people voted?
Boy, I just have no clue on this one. How's it worded exactly?
Is he a member of the media? Yes or no?
No is 80%.
No is 68%.
Oh, man.
Well done. That's pretty good.
All right.
Boots Ennis. He's a champion of the world. He's from Philadelphia, and he joins us in studio next. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It is, of course, 94 WIP. Hey, now, there you go. Well done, Seltzer. Of course, that's the fake variety. And how am I to say that? Rocky's my favorite. But he is not, like, real.
You nailed it there.
But let me tell you something. The city of Philadelphia has had, really, we've had an incredible string of fighters through the years. Obviously, most notably, Joe Frazier and Bernard Hopkins. But we've got another champion, and he's with us in studio today. He's got a big fight coming up in 2 weeks. His name, Giron. His nickname, Boots. Let's welcome to WIP for the first time ever, the welterweight champion of the world, fighting out of Germantown, Boots Ennis. Boots, good morning, buddy.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to WIP, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Dude, congrats on, I mean, it is, so it's funny, John and I have talked a lot this week, kind of a downtime in Philly sports. The Phils are out, the Eagles are kind of struggling, and it's like, but we got a, John, we've got a champion, like literally.
World champion.
World champion here. So Boots, let's start with this, and I know, by the way, limited time because you got to get down to City Hall, they're going to honor you down there, it's great. All right, what is it like to be the champion of the world?
It's a great, you know, it's a goal, you know, that I accomplished, you know, but the job not done. You know, I got many more belts to get, you know, and you know, finish, you know, taking over this weight division, at the 147-pound weight division.
And you've never lost. So for those that don't know, the record, and it's astounding, in 33 fights, 32 wins, 29 by knockout, one no contest, which means zero losses.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's a blessing. I put the work in. You know, I do all the hard work, you know, and it show on fight night.
And your next fight night is coming up here in the near future, coming November, beginning of November, right? You're defending your welterweight title?
Yes, November 9th. I'm defending my welterweight title, you know, at the Wells Fargo Center. And this is going to be my second time fighting here. I just fought here, you know, July 13th, and then it was fireworks, and I think this time going to be even better.
The hometown thing's got to be a thrill. I mean, to fight in your hometown and defend a title.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was definitely, it was crazy, you know, and that was the first fight at the Wells Fargo Center. So, you know, everybody came out, they showed love, they supported, you know, and I, like I said, I think this one going to be even bigger. You know, I think everybody going, you know, come out and show love and, you know, and, you know, finally, you know, embrace me.
So the other sports in town, who's your team? Who's your team you follow the most closely?
I love all sports. So you know, I watch every single sport, you know, closely. But right now, you know, just you know, the Eagles and the Sixers.
Yeah, Eagles. Eagles are tough. Did you play other sports when you were growing up, or just boxing through and through?
No, I played basketball growing up. I was playing basketball and boxing at the same time, but I've been boxing all my life.
Boots, when did you know that you had a chance to be the champion of the world? I mean, I can't imagine at age 10 you're thinking that. When did it come into focus, like, I'm actually this good, I can actually do this and win it all?
Yeah, ever since I had my first amateur fight, because growing up, I really never even liked fighting in the amateurs because I always had a professional style. I never threw a bunch of punches. I never threw a lot of punches. And when I was little and I was fighting these tournaments and winning these tournaments, I'm like, I can't wait to turn pro. I just want to, you know, basically be world champion, you know, follow behind my brother's footsteps, you know, and take my last name to the next level.
Do you know Bernard B. Hop? I mean, obviously he retired, gosh, I'd have to do the math here, but I guess 10 or so years ago. And what a career, to the age of 49. Do you know him?
Yeah, I know
him. I mean, does he help you in any way as far as the journey and what he went through? And
nah.
You guys don't have that relationship?
Nah, yeah.
It was quite a journey. I mean, he fought till he was 49 years old. Mm-hmm. And again, Boots Ennis with us here in studio, getting ready for his fight. So the fight is coming up on, the specific date is November the 9th. It's a Saturday night. It's at the Wells Fargo Center. Mm-hmm. And so help us out. I'm going to try the pronunciation of your opponent, and then you correct me if I say it wrong. Corinne Kukason.
I think it's Chukason.
Kukason?
Chukason, something like that. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Now,
that's a tough one, though. Yeah. I mean, the spelling on that one.
I'm shocked Joe didn't get it, to be honest.
A-D-C-H-I-A-N.
So, yeah, so, wow. You're so good at pronouncing names. I just thought you'd nail it.
It's funny, Boots. So with what we do as sports talk show hosts and then following the, you know, the Phillies, the Flyers, and the Sixers, and the Eagles, typically, and John knows this as a player to play for the Eagles, under Andy Reid. I mean, John, you're instructed by Andy Reid. Do not give bulletin board material. Do not say, we're going to beat Dallas. Sure. You might think it, but you don't say it. But Boots, boxing's different. Like, you're going to beat this chump, right?
Most definitely. You know, I put the work in. I know what I do day in and day out. And November 9th, and I'm gonna have some fun and put on a show and and do my thing. That's what I do.
Do you have to hone the trash talking just like you have to hone the boxing itself? Like, is it, it's all one big package? When you get up there and you're face to face, there's a lot that's said that we don't get to hear.
Right.
Yeah. How good do you have to be at trash talking?
I mean,
really be peak performance as a boxer.
I mean, everybody different with the trash talking. Like with me, I really don't talk too much. I don't really got too much to say. You know,
I do all my talking
in the ring. And but everybody different though. Some people talk a lot. Some people don't talk at all. You know, I see something. Somebody say something back to me or say something to me, but I'm not. Like, I don't got to talk trash because I know what I'm gonna do to you when I get in the ring.
Wow, confidence.
Boots, so this fight? What's next after that? I mean, are you gonna ever move up? And go heavier and because I know there's some dudes in the higher classes that you know people want to see you fight. What's the plan? What's next?
Right now my main goal right now is focusing on November 9th. You know, at Don Victorious November 9th, and I put on a show and I look good. You know, and get a knockout. Just whatever comes to the table. You know, but my whole thing is I want collect these belts and I want to be undisputed. So my next fight, I want one of these other champs.
And how many belts do you need to become an undisputed? Is it four?
It's four.
Yeah.
It's four plus the Ring Magazine belt. So it's
five. And you got IBF right now.
I got the IBF, yes.
It's awesome. Well, by the way, for everyone listening right now, you can get tickets to this fight. Now, we're giving away one pair of tickets, by the end of the show today, which is in the next 20 minutes. But you can also purchase tickets for this fight. It's November 9th, Saturday, November 9th, Wells Fargo Center. And the website is wellsfargocenterphilly.com. Again, Wells Fargo Center, Philly.com. He's 32. What do they call? Is it 0-1? Is that what is a no contest 0-1 or just 32-0? What does that mean?
It's 32-0. 32-0 knockouts, and then I guess they put it at the end.
Yeah. All right. Forget the no contest.
You don't have to include that.
32-0.
Listen,
there you go. The sweet science is a beautiful thing, man. And Boots, you're one of the absolute greatest in the world today. Congrats on what you've done.
Thank you.
We hope to see you and be there on November 9th. Good luck, my man. And City of Philadelphia is behind you. And come back to WIP anytime you get a chance, man. And we'll root you on the whole way.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys for having me.
You got it. Thanks, Let's hear Boots. It for Boots Ennis. Great stuff right there. Boots, have fun. I know you're headed down to the City Hall right now. To go hang out with the big Mahoffs at City Hall and get a citation, as they honor you down there before your fight. Good luck, Boots, and we'll be watching. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Congratulations.
All right, 215-592-9494. Thanks to everyone in studio. Boots' group all in here today. We appreciate you guys being in here. All right, let's go back to the phones. That was cool. Let's talk to Chris right now. He's calling from Plymouth Meeting. Chris, good morning.
Top of the morning to you, gang.
What's up, Chris?
How are you, gentlemen? And miss. I got two quick poll questions. We'll go around the room. Excuse me, choking on my granola this morning.
There you go. Because it's granola.
Yes.
Because you're talking during it. How about that reason?
I ate it. I thought it was done, but apparently not. So
I actually enjoy granola.
Yeah, a little yogurt granola.
Sure,
with some
sure.
Fresh strawberries, honey,
very
blueberries.
Nice. I love it.
Absolutely. But thank you, John.
Yeah.
So two quick questions. One, around the room real quick, who is the number one person most responsible for this vastly underachieving offense?
Jalen Hurts.
John? That's it?
He's thinking. John's thinking. He's doing the Ray Dittinger pause right here.
He's thinking.
Yeah. Jalen Hurts.
Okay. Ruben, what's your answer?
Sirianni.
James?
I'm like Richie here. I'll probably say Hurts.
Really?
Hurts.
I agree. I think it's Hurts, too. And poll question number two, with Mulata going to miss some time here, what would your plan be at left tackle? Do you just plug and play, Fred Johnson? Or is it Becton pushes out to left and you bring in Steen at right guard?
Who is Darian Kennard? The guy from San Francisco. I need to know more about some of these players that are coming in.
Chris, my simple answer to you, and I mean this candidly, I don't know.
I think Chris is right. It's one of those two.
No, I know it is. But my point is, the coaches would have a better idea of who's better between Fred
Johnson and Steen. It seems historically, Stoutland doesn't like to move guys. Like, he'd rather just bring someone in to fill in the tight end spot than flip people. He would need to play a little bit more in practice.
That's what I figured. He's trained his body to be guard.
That's also predicated on if the guy you're going to is good enough.
Of course.
Which, let's be real, we have no idea.
Oh, no, I know. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm just saying, historically, it seems like Stoutland doesn't love to switch.
All right, Chris, I like the Twitter poll questions coming from you. That's good work. Give me an answer here. A movie prop to display in your home.
All right, hopefully this is a winner. Off the 1994 Smash film, this prop is not only both mysterious, but also extremely significant to this film. Give me the briefcase from Pulp Fiction.
It's a great answer. I almost said it myself, but I wanted to leave it out there.
Okay.
All-time MacGuffin.
It is just a briefcase.
Yeah, it doesn't do it for me.
Are you kidding me? It's like the all-time. Is his soul in there? What's going on?
But there's nothing in it when it opens.
Come on.
But it is just a briefcase.
I think that's an all-time great answer.
Wouldn't you rather have that jewelry that Richard Gere snaps down on Julia Roberts' hand?
Nope.
Get it and then sell it?
What? No. I'm telling you, the briefcase from Pulp Fiction would sell for way more than that. Wait, the briefcase from Pulp Fiction is one of the all-time like props. What was it? What's in it? Like, it's a big deal.
Sells more than beautiful jewelry?
Yeah. I think the original briefcase from Pulp Fiction, I'll bet you
there's a lot of money.
This is one of those ones where James digs his heels in and he's going to keep
talking.
I'm
definitely right about this. There we go. I know I am.
You know, they might have sold that briefcase. We could probably check it out.
All right, let's get to Sean right now. Sean, good morning.
Oh, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. So, Joe, I have a question for you. You ready?
Sure.
So, last year when the Eagles, I guess, what, they were 10-1? Did you personally think they were good or average?
Oh, I certainly thought they were good. I thought they were probably closer to great than good, but I was concerned. I certainly thought they were better than average.
Okay, and what made you feel that way? Just the play from Jalen Hurts or...
Which part, the good part or the bad part of my answer?
The good part.
I would just say combination of things. They did have impressive wins. Like, beating KC and KC is not unimpressive. Beating the Bills is not unimpressive.
Beat Miami handily.
Yeah. And it also was a string. I mean, you got to remember at that time, Sean, it was a string. And I'm not going to do the math quickly off the top of my head. But, like, it was an outrageous string over a year and a half where they barely lost. So it was remarkable.
Right. And then, so I want to touch on a current topic with Sirianni. So, see, I have a problem with him going over the top and everything and overboard and chirping at the fans, but that doesn't mean I want to say that, you know, he's not allowed to celebrate with his players after a win or, you know, feel good after a win or hype his guys up, but I definitely think that's a little too far.
Just pick your spots.
Well, that's a lot too far.
Pick your spots. That's all I'm saying. Just be...
No one said anything about him not celebrating with his players. I absolutely do that.
I mean, Andy every once in a while would do the ridiculous leap with, I think it was Deshaun.
Donovan started doing the jump up in the air thing with Andy.
And it was funny. It was funny. But I mean, you know.
But that's the limit. I mean, really, like, that was the extent of him going over the top. Andy jumping off the ground and you know, hopping up in the air with one of his players.
And remember, Sean, what Andy also did in 04, he had a, it's not a bet, he had an agreement with Terrell Owens and the whole team that if T.O. got to 15 touchdowns, Andy was going to put the tights on in front of the team.
Just fun stuff.
That's funny,
like that.
And that drives people.
Yeah.
You know, no, sadly,
sensible.
T.O. got to 14, and that's when he got injured with 2.5 games to go. So that's why the tights never got on. Sean, give me a great answer. A movie prop to display in your home.
So I'm taking this one because I actually know somebody who has it in their house. I'm going to go with the leg lamp from A Christmas Story.
Hmm, interesting.
That's really good.
Yeah, I don't like it, answer. But I know a lot of people do. Okay, fair enough. All right, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours. All right, time's yours is brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
For everybody that missed it, one of Conklin's funniest lines in history happened in your most recent sketch. One of the papers that Sirianni's child knocked off of Howie's desk Howie says it was the University of Georgia depth chart.
Oh, I heard
and
it.
He didn't say it real loud, so I don't think people heard it.
No, I heard it, and I liked it. He slid it in there. It was a little Howie shot in the midst of a Sirianni shot.
OMG. The Mets staff has walked 22 batters in 3 games. I think we gave that staff way too much credit, thinking they were pitching out of the zone to have the Phillies chase.
Yeah.
Amen.
Just make them beat you.
Yeah, totally.
And they can't.
Yeah.
Question for John Ritchie. Do you really think the coaches aren't coaching Jalen Hurts up in the film room, not pointing out that he has receivers open, not pointing out that he takes off too early or doesn't stay in the pocket for one more second? I've watched the film, and I'm just a fan. Bottom line is, he is inconsistent because he's inconsistent.
Yeah, and the coaching is also inconsistent.
Is Joe Conklin part of the media? No. Was George Carlin part of the media? Is Sebastian Maniscalco part of the media? Do you guys really have that much time on your hands to ask those kind of questions? This is Philadelphia Sports talk show, not the romper room.
Hold on
time's
a second.
Yours.
It is the romper room. I mean, that's
it's
what
the romper room.
That's what Conklin represents. And the other thing I'd say that. Is. Well, I love Maniscalco and Carlin and all those guys. They weren't weekly contributors to a radio show. I mean, look, I don't think he's a member of the media, but the reason it comes into focus is Joe has been a weekly contributor to radio shows for 30 years. So, you know, it's different. And with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
We have to come up with a winning answer for the, and again, this is for Boots Ennis tickets, the fight on November 9th. A movie item you'd like to display in your home. Of the answers said by the audience today, here are some that stand out. What's it called?
Proton pack.
I
can't believe you said
protein. I wrote it
down.
Dude, I saw that 35 years ago. Proton pack. Proton, protein, whatever.
Oh, wow.
Protein pack. All right.
Bad job.
All right.
Horrible job.
The T-9000 Terminator outfit. Hannibal Lecter's...
Not the outfit, but just like the...
The exoskeleton,
yeah, the exoskeleton.
Essentially.
Yeah, right. Okay, fair enough.
Outfit.
Well, I thought he meant the...
The leather and the glasses and stuff?
Well, no, I was kind of thinking the...
Yeah, exoskeleton.
What the guy... Yeah. Well, I mean, it's got to be some kind of outfit. I mean, it's...
No, it's like a robot. Like it's a... What are you talking about?
It's like the infit. Well, it's like the skeleton. Like
no,
the,
I know, but to display it...
It would be like a skeleton. It'd be like if you had like a skeleton in a science class. It would just be the Terminator skeleton.
All right, I'm going to stop talking. Hannibal Lecter's mask, the Pulp Fiction briefcase, the light from A Christmas Story, Superman's...
The leg lamp is a big one, man.
I get it. Superman's cape and Rocky's belt.
Rocky's belt is really good.
I know what I'm thinking.
I'm voting for the briefcase. I know I'm alone, right, but I think it's the best answer.
What do you got?
I like the leg lamp.
Ruben?
Superman.
Okay, we might have five different answers, John.
I think leg lamp is... evocative.
Well, I think Rocky's belt. Did two say leg lamp?
Yeah.
Then that's it.
There you go.
How do you take that over Rocky's belt?
Over the Hannibal Lecter mask. So many different things.
What did you say, Ruben?
I said Superman's cape.
That's fine.
That's fair.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
The leg cape is the greatest
of
all
time. It's a good answer, Ruben.
He is the number one. I mean, is there a better one?
I would have gone with that or Hannibal 2 and 3, and then Superman.
The lamp actually works as well, so
he's
it's got
the
dual...
superhero.
I don't need it to work. I'm just showing it to people. I'm like, look at this cool thing that I have.
Fun display piece that works.
I think in a travesty, Sean has won the tickets to see Boots Ennis. I think it's a travesty, but all right.
Good work, Sean.
It was fun having Boots
Ennis.
Are
you going to stop talking now?
Pretty much. Pretty much. All right, Ruben, stay well, buddy.
Great to be with you.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
All right, everyone, have a great rest of the day. Joe and Hugh are up next tomorrow. It's a Football Friday, getting you ready for the Eagles and Giants. Joe and Hugh up next on 94 WIP.